بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Before we start the tafsir class, I just want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts all of our fasting, all of our prayers, all of our good deeds in the month of Ramadan. Before Ramadan, we did the tafsir of Surah Al-Qadr. That was the last surah that we did before Ramadan actually came in. And today, inshallah, we're going to be starting the tafsir of Surah Alaq. The tafsir of Surah Alaq. And because it's the first surah which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and because it has a sabab al-nuzul, it has a reason why it was revealed, in the sense that there's a story behind its revelation and how the revelation came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. I wanted to take my time with this surah and not rush into it and give like a basic tafsir. I wanted to go into a lot of detail. So inshallah, in this tafsir class today, we're going to just be going through the first five ayahs of Surah Alaq. And from those first five ayahs, we're going to be initially talking about how the revelation came, the first revelation, how it came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this surah, He mentions many different points. And from the things that He mentions in this surah, which has two names, by the way, it's known as Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, because sometimes surahs are mentioned by the first ayah. And this is mentioned in books of hadith, for example, in certain surahs, that certain surahs were mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ himself with their first ayah. Likewise, this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will say, Iqra' bismi rabbika, the Prophet ﷺ would say, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and it would be known as Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Another name of this surah is Surah Al-Alaq. And it's a Makki surah, which means it was revealed before the hijrah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's a surah which has 19 ayahs altogether. A surah which has 19 ayahs. And the placement of this surah in the Quran is after Surah Teen, and before Surah Al-Qadr. And we mentioned there's a wisdom behind the placement of the surahs in the Qur'an and why surahs are arranged in the way that they're arranged in the Qur'an. And from the reasons why it comes after the surah that it comes after, Surah Teen, is, according to some of the scholars, because in Surah Teen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. He says, we have certainly created man in the best of stature, meaning in the best of forms. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created man from al-alaq. And alaq is a clot, okay, or a clinging substance. Okay, it's when the blood comes together. It's a mass of coagulated blood. So the scholars, they say in the surah before Surah Alaq, Surah At-Tin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the form and the image of the human being and how it's been created in the best of forms. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ, that man was created from a clinging substance, from a clot. And it's showing that man's origin came from an alaq. So in Surah Teen, it's talking about the outward appearance. And in Surah Alaq, it's talking about the appearance and the way the human being came about from a clot of blood. So the origin of the human being. And this is why it's, you know, one of the reasons why it's come after Surah At-Tin. And the surah after Surah Alaq is Surah Al-Qadr. And we mentioned when we talk about Surah Qadr, why Surah Alaq comes before Surah Qadr. Because Surah Alaq is talking about the beginning of revelation. And Surah Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about When the Quran was revealed, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Verily, it was revealed in the night of Qadr. So this is why this surah comes where it comes in the Quran. What does this surah specifically talk about? And remember, we're only going to be talking about the beginning of revelation in this lesson, inshallah. We're only going to be talking about the whole incident about how the revelation came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and what actually happened, because we're talking about this first surah which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in the first five ayahs that we're going to be sort of covering today and also next lesson, inshallah, in these first five ayahs of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the importance of reading and the importance of learning, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the ultimate creator of man, and everything that he knows, everything which he knows, everything which he learnt, it's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intellect of the human being and everything he has learnt. And that the human being was created with no knowledge. When he was born without any knowledge. He knew nothing. There was no knowledge that he had. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who gave him the knowledge that he has. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who teaches man whatever it is that he knows. If it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we wouldn't be able to learn and know things that we know today, whether it's with regards to Islam or with regards to other sciences and, you know, worldly sciences. And this surah, which was the first surah which was revealed, some people think it was the whole surah which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in fact, it's broken down into two parts, it's split into two. The first five ayahs were the ayahs which were revealed in the first revelation to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rest of it was with regards to an incident which took place between the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Jahl. So the first five ayahs were the ayahs which were revealed first. The rest of the surah was revealed at a later date, at another time. And as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about how the revelation came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he talks about the beginning of prophethood of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first of the Qur'an which was revealed. And he mentions a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, where she says, talking about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about the revelation that came to him, she says, and as we're going through this narration, we'll talk about benefits from it, inshallah. She says that the first thing that began happening with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam from the revelation was dreams that he would see in his sleep that would come true. So before the revelation even came to him, before Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq had even happened, before this first revelation had even come to him, before this, he would go to sleep and he would see certain dreams. And then when he would wake up, those dreams would actually take place in real life. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, he would not see any dream except that it would come true, just like the clearness of the daybreak in the morning. That's how vividly and clear those dreams came true for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it said that this started to happen 6 months before revelation. So 6 months before this surah even came, before Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq was revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was having dreams, and those dreams were coming true in real life. They were actually happening. They would actually come true. And also from the things which took place is that, this is before the first revelation, things, inanimate objects would give salam to him. So for example, there would be rocks which would give salam to him, or trees or other things would give salam to him. And it's mentioned in some books of hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I still remember a specific rock which would give salam to me. I still remember that rock, and if I was where the rock was, I could point that rock out to you. So these rocks and, you know, other things, other inanimate objects would actually give salam to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And he would look around, he wouldn't see any people. There'd be nobody around. It would be these rocks and other things giving salam to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So these were happening even before revelation came to him, 6 months before. Now why were these things happening to him? What was the benefit of having these things happen? Why would the inanimate objects give salam to him? Why would he have dreams that would actually come true? Why would these things happen? And the scholars, they say that these things happened as a means of preparing the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam for the revelation when it comes to him. So there's some type of spiritual, mental preparation to what's going to take place. Because revelation isn't something small. It's not something easy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We're going to send down to you, we're going to give you a heavy word. So the revelation, when it would come to him, it would actually be very difficult for the Prophet to bear the revelation when it would come from the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. So it was to prepare him for the revelation when it would eventually come to him. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that then seclusion became beloved to him. So he would go out, he would go away from the city, he would go out of the city of Mecca, and he would go away from the idol worship and from the shirk and from the polytheism that the people of Quraysh would actually practice in the city around the Kaaba and so on and so forth. To get away from this, to avoid this, to stay away from this, he would go actually out of the city. So he would go where you could say the countryside. You know, like sometimes we get busy and we get tired of the urban lifestyle and this busy lifestyle that we have in the city. We want to go to the countryside and relax and take it easy. You know, so the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would go out away from the city and he would go to the cave of Hira. The cave of Hira. And the cave of Hira is on the mountain known as the Mountain of Light, Jabal al-Nur. And it's known as Jabal al-Nur. And it's known as Jabal al-Nur because Quran was revealed on this mountain. So it was only known as Jabal al-Nur after the revelation actually came to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Jabal al-Nur is the mountain in which the ghar, the cave of Hira is actually in. And when we think of caves, when we think of caves and the cave of Hira, we think it's going to be a big cave or a spacious cave. But in fact, the cave of Hira is a cave which is very small. It's more like a nook or a crevice. It's not something which is very big. In fact, it said that if a person was to go there, there's only space for one person, just about. And even it said that if you were to go in and you were to sit down, because of the tightness of the space, because there's not that much space, a person would have to sit in a certain direction. And that direction just happens to be the direction towards the Kaaba. And also it said that if you sit there, you can actually see the Kaaba directly. If you sit there, you can actually see from the place where you sit, you can see the Kaaba itself directly. So subhanAllah, it was like a perfect spot for a person to sit and to, contemplate and to devote oneself to worship. So the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would go to the cave of Hira, which was on Jabal al-Nur, and he would devote himself to worship there for a number of nights. And he would bring provisions with him for that. So he would take water and he would take, some items of food with him. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that he would, after his provisions would finish, he would go back to Khadija radiallahu anha, to his wife, and he would restock, take more water and more food for a similar number of nights, and then he would go back. So he would go there regularly and he would contemplate and do his own types of worship. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she says this continued until the revelation suddenly came to him while he was in the cave of Hira. And she says that the angel came to him while he was in the cave. And this is the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And the Messenger of Allah salam, he described the angel Jibreel. And he said that the angel Jibreel had 600 wings. 600 wings. And the angel Jibreel covered the heavens and the earth. And he said, wherever I looked, all I could see was the angel. All I could see was Jibreel alayhi salam. So it shows you the sheer size of this angel, subhanAllah. And it said that the Messenger of Allah salam, only saw the angel Jibreel in his true form twice. First in this case, in the first revelation, and secondly when he went on the journey of on the night journey, Al-Isra wal Mi'raj. When he went into the heavens, he saw Jibreel alayhi salam in his So the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to him, and you can imagine, subhanAllah, you know, the angel is there in all his might and glory, 600 wings filling up the heavens and the earth. And the angel, as you all know, says to the Messenger of Allah sallam, Iqra, read. And the Messenger of Allah sallam was someone who couldn't read. He wasn't able to read. So he said, Ma ana biqari. He said, I am not one who reads. I can't read. I'm unable to read. And when we talk about reading and the word Iqra itself in the Arabic language, it can mean one of two things. It can mean either reading from something, from an, you know, from a tablet or from a book or from a, you know, a piece of paper, or it can mean reading from memory. So obviously the angel Jibreel alayhi salam never had anything with him. So he was just saying, Iqra, read. And this is why, for example, when you test children with the Quran, you say Iqra and they read by heart. Okay, that's still reading, but it's a different type of reading. It's a reading which they are reading from memory. They're not reading by looking. So the angel said, Iqra. The Messenger of Allah wasn't able to read. So he said, Ma ana biqari. He said, I'm not able to read. And then the Messenger of Allah, he said, so the angel seized me and pressed me until I could no longer bear it. So the angel came, seized me and pressed me and squeezed me until I could no longer bear it. And then he released me and said for a second time, Iqra, read. So I replied, Ma ana biqari, I am not one who reads. A second time. And so he said that the angel again pressed me a second time until I could no longer bear it. And then he released me again. And then for a third time he said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. He said, read in the name of your Lord who has created you, until he reached the ayah, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. So the first five ayahs of Surah Al-Alaq, of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, which shows you that it was just these first five ayahs, which were revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. Now you can imagine the situation the Messenger of Allah is in, and what's happening to him, and how vivid this all must be for him. And the question that we can ask is, why did the angel Jibreel alayhi salam squeeze the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was the benefit in squeezing the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam? Because obviously the angel knew that he wasn't able to read, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that he wasn't able to read. So what was the benefit in squeezing him? Why did the angel Jibreel alayhi salam squeeze the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the scholars, they mention a number of reasons. First of all, they say that one of the reasons why he was squeezed is because if he wasn't squeezed and there was no contact, he would have gone home and he would have gone to sleep and he would have woke up the next morning. And what would he have thought the next morning? He would have thought it must have been a dream. You know, when someone says, this feels like a dream, pinch me, because it feels like a dream, it doesn't feel real to me. And so when you pinch them, they know it's not a dream anymore. So likewise, when the angel squeezed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he knows this is something real. It's not a dream. This is actually happening. It's actually taking place. And you know, subhanAllah, you know, sometimes you can imagine he's in the middle of nowhere. He's in the countryside, it's dark, he's on his own. And you just imagine if something happens to you like this. Imagine if some kind of, inshallah, this won't happen, but if a jinn or something comes to you and causes you some harm. Imagine how frightened we would be, how scared we would be. You know, we think we're going crazy. SubhanAllah. And it shows you the bravery of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was able to sit there, respond to this thing that he's seeing, doesn't know what it is, you know, and he's staying there, he's still there, subhanAllah. So the scholars, they say one of the reasons is to let him know he isn't dreaming, that this is actually taking place, this is real. Another thing they say with regards to why he was squeezed and the wisdom behind it is to let him know that what's being revealed to him is important and he needs to pay attention to it. So that's why he squeezed him really hard, to make him realize and make him pay attention and make him, you know, know that whatever is going to be given to him is going to be something serious. That, Ya Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what you're going to be given isn't something you should take lightly. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We're going to give you a heavy word. And this is why when revelation would come to him after this, you know, it would be hard for him to bear. He would start to sweat. It would be very difficult for him, even on a cold night, if revelation came to him, he would still be sweating because of its severity. If he was on a riding beast and revelation came to him, if he was on a camel, the camel wouldn't be able to walk. It would just kneel down. He wouldn't be able to walk anymore. He wouldn't be able to even stand because of the severity and the, you know, the heaviness of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first reason is because they want to let him know he wasn't dreaming. Allah wants to let him know he wasn't dreaming. Secondly, because Allah wants him to know that what's being revealed to him is important and it should be paid attention to and he needs to take it seriously. Another thing that some of the scholars say, and Allah knows best, is that he was squeezed three times to indicate he will face three big trials in his life. And these big trials, as some of the scholars they say, are the boycott which took place while he was in Mecca, the hijrah and the assassination attempt as he was fleeing Mecca and making his way to Medina. And thirdly, the battle of Uhud, where the Muslims inflicted a loss. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this is why the angel Jibreel squeezed the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the wisdom behind it. So after this happened and these ayahs were revealed to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he returned home with his heart trembling, as Aisha radiallahu anha says. She says he returned home with those ayat, with those first five ayat, and his heart was trembling until he came home to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said the famous words, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. Wrap me up, wrap me up. And Khadija wrapped him up until his fear went away. And after that, he told Khadija radiallahu anha everything which happened. And he said, قَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. He said, I fear that something may happen to me. Because he doesn't know what took place. He doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know this is an angel giving him revelation now. He has no idea. He doesn't know what's going on. Okay? So, you know, obviously if something like this happens to us, we think something bad is going to happen to us. Something may harm us. You know, something from out of this world is coming and is squeezing us, is causing harm to us. Maybe we don't have long left. So he says, I fear something may happen to me. So Khadija radiallahu anha, she says, Kalla abshir fa wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. She says, never, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. You keep good relations with your relatives. You speak the truth. You help the poor and the destitute. You serve your guests generously. And you help the deserving, the calamity afflicted people. Subhanallah. So even before prophethood and even before the message of Islam is spread to other people and to the world, Khadija radiallahu anha is telling us the personality and the characteristics of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. You know, how he was to his people, how he was good to his guests, how he kept good relations with his relatives. He visited them, you know, he was good to them, he was close to them, he always spoke the truth. This is even before Islam, subhanallah. You know, so people who say, for example, that he was doing these things for other means, for other purposes, you know, it shows that he was someone who had these traits, these good traits, even before Islam. You know, even before he was a prophet of Islam. You helped the poor and the destitute. He was someone who was generous with his guests. He was someone who would help those who were afflicted, those who suffered from calamity, subhanAllah. So Khadija radiallahu anha, you know, is telling us the character of the Prophet ﷺ even before Islam. And also this shows us the status of Khadija radiallahu anha. You know, the wife of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, how supportive she was in this time of difficulty when the Messenger of Allah ﷺ has no idea what's happening and he's scared and he's afraid. And it shows you how comforting Khadija radiallahu anha was to her husband. Khadija radiallahu anha, on top of this, not only does she do this, but on top of this, she goes with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And he was someone who became a Christian. And he would write the scripture, the Injil, okay, the Christian scriptures. he would write them from Hebrew into Arabic. So he would translate the Injil, the Christian scriptures, from the Hebrew language into the Arabic language, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed him to write. And then he became old. So at this moment in time, he was an old man. He had lost his eyesight. He wasn't able to see properly. In fact, he had lost his eyesight completely. Khadija radiallahu anha, she went to him and she said, "Oh my cousin, listen to the story of your nephew." And Waraqa radiallahu anha, he said, "Oh my nephew, what have you seen?" And so the Messenger of Allah sallam described what he saw. And when Waraqa heard this, he said, "This is an-namus," meaning this thing that came to you is an-namus whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to Musa. So namus is basically one of the words that they used in the previous scriptures to describe Jibreel alayhi salam. And he says, "This is an-namus, the angel, the same angel whom Allah had sent to Musa." And then he says, "I wish I was young and could live until the time when your people would drive you out." And so Allah's Messenger says, because at the time he was in Mecca, he wasn't going anywhere. He was living in complete safety and security. He was one of the most honored people in the city of Mecca, from the greatest and most respected tribes. So he couldn't even imagine that they're going to throw him out and they're going to drive him out of his hometown. So he said, "Amukhrijiyahum." He said, "Will they drive me out?" And Waraqa replied and he said, "Yes, anyone who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility and with enmity and with hatred. And if I should remain alive until that day, I would firmly support you." But Waraqa, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, Waraqa did not remain. He died and the revelation paused until the Messenger of Allah became sad, according to what we're told. So he died even before the Prophet ﷺ actually became a messenger. Okay. So with this surah, Surah Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ became a prophet. They say, "Nubbi'a biqra wa ursila bil muddathir," that he became a prophet with Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, and he became a messenger with the surah, "Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir," "O you who is wrapped up, qum fa'andir," "Stand up and," meaning warn them of the Day of Judgment. So he wasn't yet a messenger. Now, according to some of the scholars, they talk about Waraqa ibn Nawfal. And some of the scholars, they say Waraqa ibn Nawfal, in fact, was the first man to accept Islam. And this is before, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Waraqa. His name was Waraqa. So they say Waraqa was the first person to accept Islam, because obviously the Messenger of Allah, as soon as this incident happened to him, he went straight home and Khadija radiallahu anha took him straight to Waraqa. And what does Waraqa say? He says, "If I should remain alive till the day when they drive you out, I would firmly support you." Which shows that he believed in what was coming down to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is why some of the scholars, they say, there's some difference of opinion, but Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah and Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, for example, they say that he was a companion. And a person should say radiallahu an if the name of Waraqa ibn Nawfal radiallahu an is mentioned. So after this took place, the revelation paused and nothing happened for a period of time. Okay, so for a number of months, no revelation came down after this initial contact between the angel and the Messenger of Allah, and this first revelation which was given to the Messenger of Allah. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the revelation paused until Allah's Messenger became sad. So he was upset. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know what's happening. And due to this grief and this sadness, he set out a number of times with the intent of throwing himself from the mountaintops. Okay, because he didn't know what's going on. He has no idea what's happening, and he doesn't know if what's happening to him is something, something else, something harmful, something bad. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, however, every time he would reach the peak of a mountain to throw himself from it, Jibreel alayhi salam would appear to him and say, "Oh Muhammad, you are truly the Messenger of Allah." And therefore his worry would be eased and his soul would be settled and he would return down from the mount. And then when the revelation did not come again for a long time, he set out as he had done before. He would go up at the mountain again and Jibreel alayhi salam would appear to him again and say what he said beforehand. So this is the story of the first, the Bad'ul Wahi, the first revelation which was given and sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam. And, you know, it's a long narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, but there's many benefits that we can take from this incident. And from the lessons that we can take is that even before Islam, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam was someone who wasn't into worshipping idols and never worshipped idols and wasn't involved in shirk and polytheism. In fact, he would go to great lengths to avoid the city and the idol worship of his people, so much so that he would leave the city of Mecca and he would go into the mountains and meditate on his own. Subhanallah. Which shows you that he wasn't someone who was into this idol worship. And there was only a number of few people, a small number of people, a handful of people, who it said never worshipped any idols. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was another of them. In his life, he never ever bowed or prostrated to any idol, just like the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, it shows you, this hadith and this story, this incident shows you the preparation which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was given before he actually became a prophet, and how is something which was so, it's something which is so serious, it's something which is so heavy and so important that he was given revelation, or he was given signs even 6 months before revelation actually came to him, by signs such as the rocks and other inanimate objects giving him salam, you know, such as him having dreams and then those dreams actually coming true. And also it shows you the status of the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. The fact that out of all the angels, it was the angel Jibreel alayhi salam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to come down and give the revelation to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam. And it shows you his status and his maqam. And the fact that he is from the greatest of the angels. And the fact that he has 600 wings. And just thinking of that, just thinking of the angel itself, and an image of, you know, a creation made of light filling up the horizon, filling up the heavens and the earth, is something which, subhanallah, you know, if we were to see it, we would be totally amazed. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when I saw the angel Jibreel in the night journey, when he went into the heavens, he said, I saw the angel Jibreel with 600 wings, and pearls and rubies were dripping from his wings. Like in this world, you know, with birds, water will drip from their wings. But in Jannah, when he went on his journey, he said, I saw the angel Jibreel, and pearls and rubies and corals were dripping from his wings, subhanAllah. And you can only imagine the sheer and immense beauty of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah that we're able to see those angels on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah. And also from the benefits that we have from this story is the relationship of Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with her husband, and how supportive she was of him in this time of difficulty, in this time of great stress for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, and it shows how close they were and how supportive she was. So this is the beginning of revelation. This is Bad'ul Wahi. And the very first ayah which was revealed was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord. Recite in the name of your Lord who created. And we mentioned that with regards to the word Iqra, then it has two meanings. Iqra can mean when someone reads from something, from a piece of paper, from a book, so on and so forth. And the second meaning of Iqra is for a person to read from memory. And this is what's meant, and this is what's alluded to in this ayah, in this specific ayah, in this case. Okay, because there was nothing which the angel Jibreel alayhi salam had. Okay, he was telling him to read from memory, and then that's why the angel said, "Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited just like the angel had said, and that's why he would say, "Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," and that's why it's come down to us. Also, from the benefits of this first ayah of this surah is that it was revealed and it was sent down and it was given to us in meaning and also in the words which were given to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was given in meaning and also it was given to us literally, exactly how it was given to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay? Because the angel Jibreel Alayhi Salaam is saying what? Read. And then he's saying, read Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created you. So you would think that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq. Okay, because Iqra is an order. Like for example, we mentioned this before. Some of the surahs, they start with Qul. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Qul a'udhu birabbil falaq. Okay, but the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is already saying those things which he has been told to say. So why is he saying Qul also? Why is he saying say? Because he is the one who has been told. Because it shows us the detail in which the Qur'an was sent down and was, you know, spread from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Messenger of Allah sallam, to the rest of mankind. That even these words were recorded and there's benefit in them. And there's a reason why they were mentioned. Because even for us, we are there, we're testifying and we're declaring that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. And, you know, the Qur'an has been preserved in meaning and also in words and literally. It's been preserved in every single aspect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite in the name of your Lord who created you. And this is why whenever we recite the Qur'an, we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, recite in the name of your Lord who created you. So whenever a person recites the Quran, he always says before he starts a new surah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Also, it shows us the importance of knowledge and the importance of reading. And inshallah, next lesson, we're going to talk about the importance of knowledge and the importance of reading and the importance of studying and the importance of writing in Islam. Okay? And one of the main things which show us the importance of knowledge and learning is this surah and is this ayah. Because Allah says, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read and recite in the name of your Lord, subhanAllah. So it really shows us the importance of reading, the importance of knowledge, the importance of learning, especially when it comes to Islamic knowledge. Especially when it comes to Islam. Because if a person doesn't have Islam, if he doesn't learn about his faith, then with regards to the dunya, he's not going to achieve success. Real success. And this is why the Muslims initially, when they were strong with regards to their Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with regards to this world and this dunya. But when people would forget Islam and forget about learning about their religion and learning about their faith, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't make them successful in this dunya. And this is why subhanAllah, you see the first few hundred years of Islam, you know, the things that took place and the things that happened in the first few hundred years of Islam was greater than what happened after that. You know, because they paid so much attention to Islam and the importance of knowledge, Islamic knowledge specifically. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite, read in the name of your Lord. So, inshallah, we're going to stop here and next week we'll go through and we'll talk about the first, in more detail, the first five ayahs that were revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for us to be able to do in the next lesson. If there's any questions, then I'll do my best to answer them, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. A number of reasons. First of all, because certain things were made visible to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ that other people couldn't see. So sometimes certain things would happen, and revelation, when revelation would come to him, he would be able to see it, but others wouldn't be able to see. And also, one could also make the argument that because he was in the countryside, because he was somewhere way outside of the city, nobody else could see it. Nobody else could see what took place. But this is something which, you know, as Muslims, we believe in. You know, we believe that the angel came to the Messenger of Allah, revelation was given to him. It's not something which, you know, he made up himself. It's something which we firmly believe actually took place. And it's part of our faith. You know, all the pillars of Iman that we have, all the six pillars of Iman, are all things which you can't see. You know, like Allah subhanahu, we can't see Allah azza wa jal, but we believe in him. You know, we can't see the angels, but we believe in the angels. We never saw the books being revealed to the prophets, but we believe in all of them. We believe that the Quran is a revelation from Allah. We can't see it. We believe that they were prophets. We never saw the prophets. Okay, the companions maybe saw the prophets and messengers and previous, you know, the disciples and the followers of the prophets, but they had, it was a matter of faith, believing that they were prophets and messengers. Yeah, so the angel would take different forms. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so sometimes he would come in the form of a man. Yeah, so he would come in different forms. And for example, as I was mentioning, the pillars of Iman, even the last day, the Day of Judgment, it's not something that we see, but we believe in it. You know, and also Qadr, the last pillar of Iman, is something you don't see. So the angel would come in different forms, as the brother mentioned as well. Sometimes he would come in the form of man. Sometimes he would come in the form, in his true form. He would come in different forms.
The order of the Quran, because Surah Fatiha, the first surah, then you say, oh, Allah is the first revelation. So how do we get...
It's not in chronological order of revelation.
Yes, the Quran isn't in the order that it was revealed in. Okay, so it's in a different order. So for example, the first surah, Surah Fatiha, the reason why it's the first surah in the Quran is because it's the greatest surah of the Quran. Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the greatest surah is Al-Fatiha. Yeah. And the fact that every single ayah in any part of the Quran, any ayah, any verse in the Quran, always goes back to one of the ayahs in Surah Fatiha. Okay? And also that's why the scholars say that Surah Fatiha, if somebody was to try to learn what the Quran basically talks about, you should read Surah Fatiha. Because it gives you a whole summary of the whole of the Quran. It's like an introduction to the Quran. Sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah, jazakallah khair. Yes, that's true. You know, a person might be able to see, and the blind person might be able to see better than the one who can see.
Yeah.
No.
If a certain Quran was revealed bit by bit, how did the Sahaba bring the Surah together? Some ayahs were revealed here and some ayahs were revealed there. How did they be able to say, okay, this is Surah Al-Baqarah, or this is Surah Al-Ma'idah?
Yeah, so the Messenger of Allah would actually tell them. So he would say, this has been revealed, or this should go here, and this these eyes should go here. So he would, you know, point to where it should be, where it should be placed. And obviously it was revelation. You know, he couldn't read, but it was revelation telling him, you know, it's wahi telling him where those eyes should go, specifically in those surahs. Yeah. Yeah, so in surahs, if a surah was not revealed altogether, and certain ayahs were revealed later, then he would tell them, this ayah goes here, and this ayah goes here, and these sets of ayahs go here. So,
in Salah, do we have to follow the plain surahs? Have to be in order? Or because it's grounded in order anyway?
No, I mean, the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he would read,